And it's a Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, and Phil Connon is here. Phil Connon has a show each Wednesday, 6 to 8, Classical Underground. And as we promised, we are not going to let go of Story, which we've titled Long Will the Bitter Morsel Be Chewed. That is, we have a foreign minister who has a foreign policy, very foreign. And it seems to resemble, frankly, that of her grandfather. But her grandfather's a notorious man. Well, I call him notorious. That is, he was a Nazi collaborator. According to, I would put it this way, all the evidence, a Nazi collaborator. And she said she learned so much from Grandpa and Grandma, and it inspired her. And we've heard this story. I'm not making it up. And she wanted to get elected based on that. The reason this is a touchy subject is that, that we have a media that are saying, some who are saying, she doesn't have to answer about Grandpa. Well, if you run on Grandpa, you have to answer on Grandpa. You don't get it to have it both ways. If you say, I was taught these things, and she said we were taught to keep the flame burning, you know. Well, we see flames in Kiev and Lvov where young men are marching along in the streets wearing insignias of people that were our enemies in World War II, who were, of course, also who carry pictures of people who were designated war criminals or identified today as war criminals. She can debate it if she wants, but they have flames. They like to march at night. It intimidates people. And many have remarked on it. So this is why, as we say, long will the bitter morsel be chewed. Why are we having to do that? Why are we having to talk about it? Because Chrystia Freeland feels she doesn't have to. Well, she has not said anything. I got to be very fair to her. She has remained silent since it was called to her attention that some have said that her grandfather, whom she regarded as close, was a Nazi collaborator. And she did not answer that question at the time. So long as she does not answer, we have to continue to ask. I've heard this formulated. Someone said, well, she does not have to answer. That's true in a courtroom, and it's true with a policeman, because we don't believe in torture, and no one wants to, you know. So that's absolutely right. She does not have to answer. But if she does not answer, we have to ask. We're stuck with that because this is a little bit of an issue. Why should Canadians be concerned? Well, because her last public act, together with the Prime Minister and our new Defense Minister, was to confirm that more Canadian forces will be available in Ukraine. Now, people have to understand that in Ukraine, where the forces are, they are close to the Polish border. And this is an area where now we have reports there's been some violence and there's been anti-Polish material put up by people who like to wear those insignias on their shoulder. I have to say, by the way, I'm not aware of the Canadian Foreign Ministry expressing any opinion about that. But there's a problem because we don't just have relations with Ukraine. If you're the foreign minister, you have relations with all the other states. Poland is concerned about the rise of this name, Bandera, because Mr. Bandera was they call him a Ukrainian nationalist. I don't personally believe he's a nationalist, but that's what he's called. And in the service of Germany toward the end of World War II, in the year 1944, his forces carried out actions in this region where our Canadian forces are, in which Poles were massacred. And Jews, both, were massacred. And so it's of concern to the Polish government as to what is the attitude of the minister. And they, of course, when someone says, well, you mustn't mention her grandfather. I wouldn't tell that to a Jewish person. I would not tell that to a Pole. Because if they were in a courtroom, someone would say, why are you asking this question? And you would you have to give us a reason why you expect to get an answer and why the court should be interested. And the answer you would give to the judge would be, motive, Your Honor. We're interested in the motive of this individual. We want to know if they subscribe to the same principles as the grandfather. And again, in fairness to Chrystia Freeland, she hasn't told us. Many say, well, he's a reprehensible individual, but that doesn't reflect on her. Well, it might, because we don't know whether she agrees with him, because she has chosen silence. And further, to be really helpful, the Canadian government has decided to be silent, to say nothing. That isn't good either, because, as I say, there are other ministers in the world. And I understand now that it is official. We are all to be Russophobes. We are all to say nasty things. We're to suspect them, whatever they do. That is now the official position. However, it is a state. It is a government. It is a member of the United Nations. And if you're going to have relations with other states, you have to subscribe to the same, everybody play by the same rules. Where I think we're headed is a very dangerous area, because if the minister isn't going to say anything about her grandfather, and if the prime minister is going to be happy with his foreign minister, who subscribes, as far as we know, to beliefs which are the type that cause concern in the government of Poland, certainly the government of Russia, then it means that those of us who are concerned about this all have to stand down and just accept it, just have to live with that. And why? And I'm afraid I have an answer. I thought it occurred to me in looking at this thing, is that when these guys with the insignias and the big pictures of Bandera were in the square at Maidan, they were they forced a political crisis on the country. And Canada and the United States and Britain decided to be their allies. They had an elected president, and they chose to say, we're not going to tolerate him being president. He's elected. So here's what happened. They had a meeting. The Polish foreign minister attended the meeting. The German foreign minister attended the meeting. The French foreign minister, I believe, was there. Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm patting Phil on the back. He remembered all three. They were present. And the opposition leaders, the boxer, whoever that is, the guy from Ukraine party, and then Mr. Yatsenyuk, who, as we all know, was Victoria Nuland's favorite guy. She called him Yats. They're kind of buddies. Yats has disappeared, by the way. We don't know where he is. And then a third leader of the opposition all met. And the representative of the European Union, Mr. Sikorsky, was kept in up to speed. And they signed an agreement with the president of Ukraine. And the deal was, we're going to have early elections to solve the crisis. There will be early elections. We will have a united front, or whatever, cabinet made up of the opposition parties and the president. And that way we will solve this. That was the agreement. And February 21, 2014. And so what happened? The crowd decided they didn't like the deal. And life became very dangerous in Kyiv and across Ukraine. So the Canadian government and U.S. government rolled the dice and said, we're going to seize power. And they did. The president, for his own safety, fled the country. Basically, it was a coup. Now, where was the European president, the representative, Mr. Sikorsky? Where were the French minister? Where's the Polish and the others? They didn't say to Ukraine, you cannot do that. You have a deal for a democratic resolution of this crisis. Therefore, you must back up and, by the way, play fair, because half of your country, a good portion of it, does not agree with the mob or crowd or political leaders at Maidan. Maidan did not represent anything more than what it represented. But the country, anybody would know, looked at history, know it's difficult to govern that country. So you need a political compromise. But they were not in a compromising mood. This was a coup. And Ottawa thought it was funny. And Washington thought it was funny to do this. And Victoria Nuland thought it was funny. So this is the headache we get. And so So now we have to have Mr. Chrétien and Mr. Dion's ideas about getting along with Russia and trying to work out compromises, living arrangements, et cetera, as they call it, between states. They get shunted aside, and they bring in Nehammer, Chrystia Freeland. And I have to tell you, I believe the Liberal Party knew very well about Ms. Freeland, because anybody interested in politics, interested in that region, would have a pretty good idea who Grandpa was. But they all decided, no, we're going to go with Nehammer. This is somebody who – and how did they sell us to her? They sell her to us. They sold her by saying, oh, she knows languages, and she's she's Ukrainian and good ties there. I don't really consider that a recommendation. That, to me, would almost be a demerit because it's too partisan. But as I say, they decided to roll the dice and go with people who are aggressive and intolerant, at least in appearance. Now, a lot of people have reacted to this, and I understand we might have one of them on the phone, David Jacobs. Are you there, David?
I am here.
I'm sorry, but I was talking too long, David. I had you there. Before I go get your opinion, but I want to make sure I've quoted something. Again, why the Taylor Report thinks this is important, why we think every Canadian, everybody around the world should make it important. We hear about Russian disinformation. That was the reason we were not supposed to ask Chrystia Freeland any questions. The Washington Post, March the 9th, had a headline for this story. And the headline was, Russia should stop calling my grandfather a Nazi, says Canada's foreign minister. That's a Washington Post, Alan Freeman, March 9th, 2017. She didn't say any such thing, which is why we're still talking about it. That is disinformation. And by the way, the article itself, I read it, didn't quote that. But the Washington Post headline writer thought, I'm going to help our ignorant readers by just putting some words in her mouth. But we don't know what she thinks, do we?
No. She hasn't said anything since she did say that there was a Russian disinformation campaign which led to the original story about her and her grandfather coming out, which is problematic because it's neither Russian nor disinformation. Her grandfather was indeed a paid and handsomely paid, from what I can tell, Nazi propagandist. And the information is available to anyone who wants to go and see in the archives of the government of Alberta, because her grandfather, Mr. Chomiak, generously donated the archives, which includes, I think, most, if not all, of the newspapers that he edited, the Krakovisti Vesti, if I'm saying that correctly, Krakow News, I believe,
yes.
And the other newspaper, which he did from what I would call Helm in Poland, both Ukrainian nationalist newspapers towing the Nazi line and faithfully reporting speeches from Goebbels and Hitler and cheering on the Nazi troops when they were killing Canadian soldiers at Dieppe and bombing London and Birmingham. That's a long preamble, but so it wasn't Russian. It's available here in the province of Alberta, also available in the archives of the Los Angeles Museum of the History of the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. So to label it as Russian is not true, and to label it as disinformation is not true either, because that implies it's false information. It's not false information, it's information. Mm-hmm. So her evasion is troubling, and in the weeks following, she has said nothing about it. And what has happened in the weeks following March the 8th or 9th, when she had this press conference, is that more and more and more information has come out about her grandfather, who she was extremely proud of, and she was proud of him because he kept alive the flame of Ukrainian nationalism, mm-hmm. and because, so she said, he fled the Soviets and the Nazis. He fled from Kiev in Ukraine in 1939, which is a very interestingly evasive statement. Mm-hmm. So in the weeks following, a lot of people have been thinking and writing and writing and writing, yeah. and hoping, frankly, that Justin Trudeau would do something.
Yes. Now, you've been impressed with some. We should tell people that it is on the net. There are a lot of good articles. There's the one, the beginning one. I mean, you could start several places, but Mr. Puglisi of the Ottawa Citizen had the great title. It turns out he was a Nazi collaborator. So much for Russian disinformation. I thought that was a great one. But then there's been a kind of a pause where you've got the Thomas Walkham, Toronto Star, pointed out that it's not disinformation if it's true. Then Mr. Cohen, Reg Cohen in Star, he said, well, we can talk about Grandpa. We shouldn't bother her. Personally, you can't separate them, so because it's not right. She hasn't asked to be separated from Grandpa. An article from, is it Israel Times, by a former Toronto journalist?
Yes. There's a Toronto journalist called Sheldon Kirshner, who is a prolific writer, has written for all kinds of media, but importantly for this purpose, for the Canadian Jewish News, for the flagship newspaper for the organized leadership of the Jewish community in Canada. He's written a couple of pieces, and it's worth going to either his blog, that's at Sheldon Kirshner, K-I-R-S-H-N-E-R, or the Times of Israel blog. They have his article there. And he writes in basically in tandem with another writer, Professor Henry Srebrenik, who's located on the East Coast and is a scholar in respect of the Holocaust and Eastern Europe and so on. And both of them are bemoaning the fact and are shocked that a number of things. But one, the silence of Chrystia Freeland. Sheldon Kirshner has written that, you've won, no one's talking about this and so on, which is really interesting because now a lot of people are talking about his article, talking about nobody talking about this.
Yes.
And
no, we've turned into what I call the Parliament is the petrified forest. And
right.
And all of our leading journalists and whatnot, for the most part, the journals are as quiet as the grass at Baba Yar.
They all
seem to think maybe we shouldn't say a word. Amazing. By the way, Kirshner takes all that up.
He definitely takes all that up and complains on behalf of his colleague and friend, Professor Srebrenik. And Professor Srebrenik tried to submit an article about Chrystia Freeland and her background and what the Bandera nationalists were all about to the Canadian Jewish News, an excellent article, and was rebuffed. He was told they were not going to print it because it was an evolving story. And Sheldon Kirshner, to his credit, said that's arrant nonsense. If you're a journalist, every story is evolving. It always is. That's the purpose of news. Mm-hmm. That's why you have news one day one day to the next.
Yes.
But
By the way, David, I don't know if you know, today, I believe the Global Research has done a piece about this, and in which they interviewed this man, Hellman, who lives in Moscow, who Chrystia Freeland wants to think of as her problem. He may be her problem. He claims to know her personally, and apparently there's no warmth between them. But I do recommend that.
Well, I haven't had a chance to see it. Yes, Sheldon Kirshner, his earlier article was called Why Can't Chrystia Freeland Acknowledge the Truth? Why Can't She Come Clean?
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the information from Alberta and so on. He also says that, you know, she is what she is, a harsh critic of Russian foreign policy, which leads us to wonder, I think you asked on earlier, what is her view? What is her view of her grandfather, and does she have the same politics as him? But we know some things about Ms. Freeland is that one is she is an angry Russophobe, and we can assume that her grandfather's publications were angrily Russophobic, and she is a Ukrainian nationalist. And so was her grandfather, of some sort of national. I mean, he was a nationalist who tolerated Ukraine under the heel of the Third Reich, but apparently he wasn't uncomfortable about that living arrangement.
Yes, he lived with them for 4 years, and when they transferred to Germany, he went with them, or Austria, pardon me. Dave, I'm sorry to say we're going to have to leave it there, but we're sure glad we were able to talk to you, and we will keep on talking about it.
Important issue. My pleasure.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. And I want to make sure I say Alex Boykowicz is one of the brave young and smart young men in Alberta who decided to go visit the 25 boxes. And there are 25 boxes that Mr. Chomiak very proudly kept, and we would like Ms. Freeland to tell us what she thinks is in the boxes. And we're still going to keep asking the question about what her views are on her grandfather's work. We have to, otherwise, we don't think she should be the foreign minister.